Well, I want to say a good Tuesday afternoon welcome to all of those that are listening to this podcast and this faithful group who have come to gather around your word. We're in the book of John, and we're at chapter 14. And what a powerful chapter this is, for sure. And we're going to go at a normal pace and stop when anybody has questions and continue on when they don't. We want to try to do a chapter a Tuesday so that we can try to finish this book of John. If we don't, that's okay, too. But we're all for sure excited about the things of God and what we're going to learn today. Those that are listening to this podcast, put your spiritual seat belts on. Get ready. If you're riding in a car or you're sitting there at the house listening to this, get ready. We're going to really dive into it. So chapter 14 and the very first verse says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. 2. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, I'm going to stop there and let's back up. And he starts off and says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, if you were just reading this, jumping into John and jumping into 14, you would wonder why he would say, "Let not your heart be troubled." But if you go back to verse 38 of 13, he was talking about laying down his life, and he was telling them and giving them a preview of what was going to happen to him. And of course, they didn't want anything to happen to him, but he had a purpose and a destiny that something would happen to him. And if it didn't happen, then we all would not be saved and have opportunity to partake of the tree of life. So they had a misunderstanding of what he said. And of course, he had done quite a bit, not only that astounded them, but also confused them. All right. So when he started talking about he's going to lay his life down and could nobody take his life, and he was going to take it back up again, I'm sure quite a few thoughts were swirling around in their heads. And if I want you to think about it, a lot of things that he said confused them as well. He had prophetic words that was strong meat, I would say, for them. And for some people today, if they look at it, it's pretty strong meat. But if you just let the Spirit of God reveal to you what he has said and how it applies to your life today, that's what we want to do, and that's our aim here in this Bible study. So when it says here, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me," I want you to remember several things. Number one, God has Jesus on display of his character, his love, his mercy, his truth. So when he's talking to them, it's the Father talking to him, and Jesus is the representative. So when it says, "Let not your heart be troubled," how does that apply to us today? And it does in several ways. If there's any question in your heart of hearts about something that could be going on in your life, then you should not be discouraged at any point, at any time during your Christian walk. It's not to say that things won't happen and you won't have an answer to them, but your heart shouldn't be troubled over it. All right? And I want us to think about that. We have these Bible studies not to look at what was going on in the past. We want to look and see what God is speaking to us in the present and even in the future. So we should at all times, even during situations, trials, and tests that, you know, he said that we're going to have, that whatever comes, we shouldn't have a troubled heart over it. It's not to say that we're not going to question why, but we shouldn't have our hearts troubled. What's another word for troubled?
Tribulation?
Next.
Worry.
Worry, stress.
Worry.
So when he says let not your heart be stressed out, that makes it a little more easier for us to digest, right? Don't let your heart be stressed out. Don't let your mind get all discombobulated over what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And the part B of it says you believe in God, don't you? Mm-hmm. And that should be the key right there. he said what? He said you believe in God, don't you? Then believe also in me. And you should be able to believe in him because what? Because Jesus was God the Father on display. Had he not during all of these previous 13 chapters demonstrated that he had power, right?
That's right.
He had power over flesh. He had power over the earth, right? He could lay his hands or he could speak and things happen. He said, peace be still. He walked on the water. I mean, so there was nothing that he did not have control and authority over because he was representing the Father, and the Father had given him this authority. So he's saying, look, you believe in God? And the question should have been, of course. Then he said, well, then believe what I said. And so let me just throw a nugget out here. The reason that not necessarily you, not you either here who are listening to this podcast, but the reason that a lot of people stumble in their walk with God has to do with their faith in God.
Right.
That's where the problem lies.
Right.
If you truly believe that what God has said in his word is true, then the evidence of it is your walk. Now, of course, a lot of people say you can look at it in more than your walk. You can look at it in your talk. You can look at it in your giving. Right. And we previously saw in here where he says, I got a new commandment for you. Love one another. And he said, now that's going to be the evidence right there that you are my disciple. If you got love one for another. So it's in your walk. It's in your giving. It's in your talk, and it's also in your love one for another, right?
Right.
So now let's look at it like this. It says, don't let your heart be stressed out. You believe in God, don't you? So if at night when you go to bed, you're not worried about whether your heart going to stop or your lungs going to stop or you're going to wake up in the morning or anything, you just put your head down and go to bed.
Amen.
Then if you think that little bit right there, then why can't you think about the next part when you do wake up? That isn't he not the same God before you went to sleep?
That's right.
The same God that not when you wake up?
That's right.
So if he had everything in control and had everything in his hands at that point, then he don't lose his grip, does he?
Yep. Nope.
So you know, 14 is used a lot during funerals. Let's be real. And the pastors and the ministers and the bishops and all, they see the crowd out there and everybody's got a sad face. And they first thing they said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? You know, and boy, you go to a funeral, everybody believing in God most of the time. You know, or are they trying to act like they believe in it anyway?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I want us to, we're going to get three or four good nuggets out of this one. And the first nugget is, you do believe in God, don't you?
Exactly.
Now, that's the nugget today, one of them. Now, we got some more, and let's move on and try to get them, because it's a gold field right here in this 14, and I want to get all the nuggets we can get. All right? It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I really want to preach today, but I want y'all to. Because I want you to look at it from the perspective of where you are. And this is what I always want you to do. When you read the scripture, how can I put this into my life so that not only can I live better, do better, talk better, act better, but I can accomplish that which God has given me assignment to do. And let us understand that God didn't save us just to have somebody to praise him in eternity. Hello. He got plenty to praise him and plenty to worship him. And if he said, I can make a rock to cry out, then he ain't worried about whether you're going to be there or not. But here it is that he already ordained for you to be here. He gave you talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. Then he wants you to do something with them, right? He want a return. So here in verse 2, it says, this is a comfort, a prize, a cherry, a carrot, whatever you want to put in there, a caveat to say, you got a prize coming if you just hang on in there. Not only do you not have to let your heart be all stressed out and you worry about some things, you got a place later on. This is some comfort for you. This is something that you can hold on to and realize you do believe in God, right? And so if you believe in God, he's saying, now, I got a place for you. Don't be worried about all of this stuff that you're stressed out about. There's going to be a better coming. Huh? I got a better coming. He said, many, many homes or residences. He said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I go to prepare one for you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have a place in the kingdom. Huh? 3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you shall be also. So now, this is speaking to disciples. So you follow me now. You do what I tell you to do in the future. I'm going to come back and get you, and we all going to be together. I want to be with them. Amen. But understand what I'm telling you. You're just not going to be with Jesus. Jesus is the representative of the Father. You're going to be with the Father. You're going to be with God. All right? And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Here we go. Thomas, verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can you say we know the way? Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want y'all to scribble over that, highlight it, put asterisks, check marks, do whatever y'all want, because I'm gonna go out on a limb today. And you know why I can? Y'all know why?
No, we don't.
Because he's divine.
That's a good one.
I thought y'all knew that. Y'all didn't know I was getting ready to get down there. We are the what? The branches? True vine, right? So I'm going to go out on a limb. Oh, that was pretty good.
It was.
When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Here's three things that he has on display for you to show you how involved he is in you. One, he says, I'm the way. In John 1, he said he was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. And you go on down to 3, he said there was nothing that was made except it was what? Made by him. So if you were made, who made you?
God.
Yeah. But specifically, it was God's intentions that were manifest through his word spoken that you hear, which was Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right. So if he says, I am the way, then you've been made in a way. You've been made in his way. You've been made in his image and in his likeness. And so now he's telling you who he is, the truth, and what has been on display, and what has he been saying the whole time to everybody that he meet. These things that I tell you, I'm not talking of myself. I'm telling you what the Father is telling me to tell you. You don't really know truth. You know tradition. Right? He's saying, I'm going to show you the right way to do things. Because everything that he's been doing, who come against him? Who's been his main opponent in all of this? The Pharisees, the people who thought that they knew truth, the people who thought that they had the way, the people who thought that they had the best life going, it wasn't that, none of that at all. And he came and kicked over the tables. He kicked over every tradition. He answered every question, solved every problem, and they stood there scratching their head. Right? Yeah. So he says, I am the way, the truth, what? And the life. The life that God has for you, you will only see it through the gospel. Because everybody else's eyes are blinded. How are they going to see life? How are they going to experience life? There is a God kind of life, and it ain't the life that we lead if we don't know him. How can we do that? We live a worldly life. We think that it's all about where we live, what we wear, and what we drive, and who we hang around with, how much money we got. You know, all of these things are the things that the world thinks is important. But Jesus said, I got a whole nother way to look at it. I'm the life. I'm going to show you what life is all about. I'm going to show you what true life is all about. All right. So, 7, it says, if you have known me, you should have known the Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, does that not validate what I said, that Jesus is God the Father on display? Mm-hmm. He said, if you want to know the Father, I've been on display showing you the Father all the time. This is how the Father thinks. This is how the Father feels. This is how the Father demonstrates his love. Right? He has compassion. He has mercy. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what he right here. He's saying, I'm the Father on display. Anything you want to know about the Father, that's why I'm here, to show you that it's not just omnis in the sky. Here it is right here. It's love, peace, joy. It's all of these things right here. It's healing for your body. He said, I'm the bread of life. Right? Everything you need, God is. Right? So he's saying, hey, you've seen him. 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father that it sufficeth us. When have we heard that before? They came to him after he had healed a man and were talking to him. He said, have I not done, how much more do you want me to do? Because they still kept saying, show us some more, give us some more. Let's see one more miracle. Let's do one more thing. He said, hey, look, I'm going to show you now. 9, Jesus said unto him, what? Have I been so long with you, and have you thou not known me, Philip? Mm-hmm. How much more time you got to spend? How many more miracles do you have to see? Man, that was strong. He that have seen me have seen what?
The Father.
The Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And listen, not only this, even when Nicodemus came to him, he said, we know you sent from heaven because can't nobody do these things that you do. We already know you got some power from on high. And here a disciple is talking to him and said, we need for you to go ahead on and show us the Father. He said, how much more you need to see? Now, how do we apply that to our life? If we say we love God and we trust God and got faith in God, how much more does he need to demonstrate to us for us to move out in faith and do what he tells us to do? How many more stories do we need, parables do we need to hear? How many more sermons do you need to hear? How many more explanations in Bible studies do you have to have faith in God and step out on what he has told you to do? And that's also in your giving, in your living, in your talking, in your walking. Right? When you pray, is your prayer centered on the fact that you know that God hears you, and if he hears you, he answers the desires of your heart? See, I told y'all this 14 gonna hit home right here, because it all boils down to where you believe God is and what you believe he can and cannot do. It's a tough one here, because there's a lot of self-examination going to come after we get through with this one. But what's good going to come out of it is you should be able to step taller, walk faster, and lay more hands and pray harder after 14. Because you should be empowered. Think about how many messages we've heard already. Think about how many sermons have been preached to us. Think about you sitting in a church and the revelation knowledge come and the hair raised up on your arm and you be like, ooh, boy, that's good. But yet you still sink back to where you were and you don't move out no further than where you were and you're waiting for your next fix. This should be the last one right here. Everything after this is what they call gravy. Huh? You're getting a steak right here now. So only thing else is maybe you might want a biscuit or two along the way. But question.
You said when we hear this, we get all excited and zealous and want to do it. But then, you know, when we leave, it'd be a whole different thing. Do you think that's because of fear or unbelief?
I want y'all to answer that one. It's not necessarily that it's fear and unbelief. I think it's more of you only got a part of what you needed to get, and you didn't let all of it settle in. All right? Let me put it to you another way. If you're hungry and you take a bite or two, you feel good with the bite or two, but you'll feel better if you eat the whole meal. So I think sometimes we only digest part of it, but we don't digest all of it.
I think my biggest, I know fear is of the devil, but sometimes I get fearful, and I guess a lot of enemy to talk to me, well, you know they're not going to respond. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm, sometimes. But then sometimes I just rebuke and go ahead and do what, you know, you say. But I guess it's the situation or what, you know.
Now, if you answer a personal question for me, I'll give you the answer to it. But you got to answer my question first, and then I'll tell you.
Okay.
Is your prayer life where you want it to be?
Mm-mm. Not where I want it to be.
Okay. Now, that was the question, and so I want you to think about that. Our prayer life dictates our fight level. I'm going to say it again. Our prayer life dictates our fight level. If you pray more and are intense in your prayers, you get equipped more to fight better. It's just like in training. You can get up in the morning and you run for 30 minutes, then you only got 30 minutes worth of power in your day. You run an hour, you get so many miles in. Next time you go out and run, what? You got enough strength to run that, and you can run a little bit further. But if you only get a little bit, you're only going to have a little bit. It says, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. All right? So I want you to think about it. When you put a lot in, you can get a lot out. All right? Just like going to the bank. You want to write a big check? You better have been a big deposit somewhere along the line. So I want you to understand what happens to us. We have to be empowered daily, not weekly, not monthly. We have to get empowered daily. When it says seek me early while I might be found, as the Lord says, does he say seek me early once a week? I mean, I just want you to understand that at your weakest point is when you have the doubt. But if you keep yourself charged up and you pray in the Holy Ghost, we're going to get into some of this stuff. A lot of this is going to be in 14, but just think about when the battle comes for you. The strong man don't come in when you strong. He come in when you weak. So when he think he got a chance to get you. He ain't going to come in there when you sitting there with all your guns loaded and you sitting there waiting on him. He know he got a fight on his hand. He kind of hang around. What it said, he seek whom he may devour. He ain't jumping on everybody out here. Right? So you thinking, you know, man, this devil and all of that. Well, he ain't all of that if you charged up. Because he's doing your prayer. You're going to take authority over him during your prayer time and arrest him. I cancel your assignments. You know how to pray. And then you already getting yourself set up for the day when you do that right. All right? Glad you brought that up. So I wanted to ask you. So then that way you would see where you would see where you are.
The battle is won basically at home. Before you leave the house, the battle is won through prayer in your home.
There you go. In that secret place.
Yeah, that's where the battle is won.
See, we draw all our power and our strength from him, but if we don't communicate with him, how are we going to get it? Huh? When we go in, and just think, Jesus is our example, right? He rose up early before day and sought the Father, right? And so when he went out there, every time he went out, didn't he win? Well, see, he had spent time with the Father. He had got energized. He had got fired up. And the Father had gave him everything he needed to get the job done. I don't care how many Pharisees came up. I don't care how many demons he had to face. I don't care how many sick people. He was charged up. He was charged up. And that's what we got to do. We got to be charged up. We try to eat every day, right? And most of the time we try to eat what we like, right? Yeah, we try to eat what we like. We know things that we need to eat, but we always going to make sure we're going to have some of what we like to eat, right? So then we should have God like that. When we get up, we want to have him because we what? We love him. I know I feel his love when I get through praying. Man, I mean, sometimes I sing, sometimes I don't, but I still feel good either way. Yeah. You know? I told y'all keep this up. All right, now, where did I leave off? No man come up to the Father, what?
No, you were down.
Oh, y'all are moving out of that. Boy, I had one. Y'all know I was getting ready to go. I was getting ready to go right there now. I stopped right there. I was getting ready to start another one right there. All right. 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that what?
Dwelleth
in me, he doeth the works. Huh? I got to stop there. Well, I don't know about too much about they wanted to stone him. I want y'all to understand what he's saying right here. This is you with a mandate right here. And I want you to think about what I'm getting ready to tell you. We're doing this study to find out what God is saying to us to empower us to be better Christians, to be better disciples, to be better servants, to be better warriors, right? When you look at this and says, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work, that should alleviate a whole lot of pressure off of you. Because think of the question you just asked me. You said, do you think that I not be able to do what I do because of the fear? It's not about you anyway. That's why you need to get out of the way and let just God work through you. Just like the Father was working through the one that was on display. Did he not say, you are my disciples now?
Right.
So you fall back in your weakest moment and let him rise up big in you. That's for us. Is he not our example?
Yes.
And if you said, Lord, use my mouth, Lord, take these hands. When that song says, I surrender all. If you surrender it, he will surely use it. But you got to give it up. But if you holding on to it, say, ooh, I'm scared to go on out here. Then he's saying, well, I would show myself strong if you just let me get in there and work it out. But you holding back thinking that I can't do it. When the truth is, you're right. But he can if you let him have it.
We got to get rid of what if.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you won't if your prayer life is not where it wants. I can't never leave that point. But if we surrender and give up that time and let God empower us, he'll do a lot through us. He can. Now, I just personally right here, I just have to say that I have never thought of myself as anybody, and I don't now, but I am somebody in him. And when I go out every day, I try to fall down in the flesh and just let him talk. Because there's a lot of things I want to say, but that I already know that may not be what God want to say. So I just get out of the way. Even when I'm at the gas, at the pump, and somebody come up and said, boy, this is really a rough, or boy, this line long, or whatever it is. I said, but God is able. I mean, in my mind, I want to say, man, you right. That's why you got to get here early. You know, I got all kind of wisdom and stuff I want to tell him, but is that what God want to say?
Yeah, that's good.
And so that's what I think that we got to do. Don't worry about that. We got to be to where we let the Father work through us. And we got to surrender. And see, all of this right here is leading up to this same thing. And I love it. 11. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, how can you as a Christian and an individual make this statement? Boy, y'all be looking at me. The main question you should be asking is about what are these works? Huh? Shouldn't there be some works following us, y'all?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be about some sort of business? Have we really come to the point of understanding the job that we have? I should have said, do you want to know what your job is? Some, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, there's a lot of things I could use up. When God called you out of darkness in his marvelous light, he did for a purpose and a destiny. So what's yours? I mean, have you been into that quiet time and said, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What would you have me to do next week, next month, next year? What is it that you got inside of me that you want to take a hold of and go out here? That is a question. Have you thought about that or asked that question? And the answer is?
I get them.
You get the answer. Uh-huh. You get them. Now, I'm glad she spoke right up and said, yeah, and I get the answers. I'm guaranteeing you some of the answers you get, you have to step back, don't you? Aren't they always a little bit bigger than you?
Yes.
And they're always going to be bigger than you because he's going to get the glory out of it. And if it's bigger than you, that's good. because you won't get in the way. If it's bigger than you, because you already be like, I know I can't do it, but I can do all things through who?
Christ.
That strengthens me. And I got another one for you. This thing been weighing me out. I mean, out. The faith that we have is always on demonstration. The faith that we have every day is on demonstration. Do we have faith in God or not? That's on demonstration every day. You get up in the morning and you get ready to start your day. Do you have faith that God is going to do everything need to be done or not? It's on display the whole time. Am I going to make it on time? Am I going to do this? You may say, boy, but it's real. And the more you get into God, the more responsibilities he'll give you. So that, guess what? You said, go ahead, God, because I can't. And that's what he wants. He wants you to say, I can't, but you can. Good. Get out of the way. I need what I put in. And if you let me have it back, I'm going to work through you. Right? Now, let's move on, because boy's getting ready to get heavy. Y'all got your seatbelts fastened in the way, right? How much time we got? Because I get it. Oh, I got 15 good minutes. Assuredly, 12 says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the what? The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because what?
I go to my Father.
If y'all would give me just 2 or 3 minutes to preach right here, I can't help it. I want y'all to understand some things. In John 1, it says there was nothing made except it was made by him, right? So if you didn't ask to be born, if you didn't ask to be male or female, and there ain't no question about that. You either one or the other. Ain't no confusion. All right. So don't you think that God know what you can do? If he built you and gave you all that you have, don't you think he know what you can do? He know what you can do. So if he ask you to do something and you looking around, you the only one that don't know, he know. He know. And if you would let him have you, he can show you what you can do, and you would be amazed at what you can do. And sometimes he'll let a situation come, and you got to let him have it. When you come out of it, you said, man, I didn't think I was going to make it. And he laughing. We the only one that think we couldn't make it. And he like, you got enough to go faster than that. You can jump higher than that. You can believe even better than that. But don't we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory and here a little, there a little? I mean, you don't get it all at once, but if you just keep going and forging ahead, think about what you can have and what you can do. If he said we can do greater works, my goodness. But see, he know what we can and can't do. We the only ones that don't. But if we don't have faith, we'll never see it. Right? Let me show you how elementary this is. When you have a baby, everybody wants it to walk before it's time, right? Come on, y'all. You hold the hands up and you're trying to make the legs go. They got power to go all the time. Right? Because as soon as they get their first two little steps, after that, you be trying to keep up with them. Because, boy, once they get to going, boy, they get, boom, they wide open. Right? But the potential for that was already there all the time. But see, here we are trying to help them out. We putting the legs one step in it, you know. Man, you're a year old. You're supposed to be walking now. You know, we are. Yeah. But the potential and all of that is already there. I'm talking to y'all. The potential for y'all to do everything that God got for you to do is already there. All you got to do is do it. Step out there. Here's the key, though. Here's the key. If you can see it, is it faith? That's why God give you stuff that's bigger than you, so that you can by faith let him have it and work through you to get to it. If he would show you all that you could do, you'd have a heart attack right now. No, I'm serious. If God would show you all that you could do and all that he had planned for you to do, your heart would stop. It would. Being the prophet that I am, I've had a chance to see a few things, and I'm telling you, it took a couple of them. I asked him not to show me nothing like that no more ever. Of course, he wouldn't listen to me at all. I mean, he don't pay no attention to me. But I'm just telling you all that have been coming on a regular basis, boy, if you could just see what you could do. I got another one for you. He give me all these things. If I had a rubber band right here on this table, and you all were looking at that rubber band, looking at it would not tell us how far it'll stretch, how much it'll hold, right? Or what it's able to do. But we know one thing. We know it's a rubber band, so it's got the potential to hold something, right? It's got the potential to stretch, right? But until we grab it and start trying to wrap it around something and see that it stretches and then we will pop it and it holds together everything, then we get an idea about it, right? But see, y'all don't want to be stretched. We don't. We want the easy road. We don't want to have to fight that fight of faith. See, everybody liked David and Goliath stories, right?
Yeah.
Right? Tell the truth. Everybody liked David and Goliath stories, right? Mm-hmm. David go out there, hit his big old giant, and we like how he said, look, I'm going to go out here and get him. He said, first of all, before I go out here and get him, let's have a little talk. He said, now what's going to happen if I get him? And he said, well, you get the king's daughter, and she's very pretty. And you're going to get a lot of money and prestige and power. He said, well, let me at him. I'm going out here. He was going to go out there and get him anyway. You know why? Because he was going to show his brothers up. Y'all know the story.
Right.
His brothers had dogged him out the whole time for him being out there with them sheep. Mm-hmm. And he go out and take the food out there. And here they hiding behind a rock. He come, he said, now, wait a minute. Something wrong with this picture. Here all these big guys, everybody's so tough and all of that, and here's an uncircumcised giant who don't have no privileges, no authority in God, don't even know who the Most High is, and y'all letting him scare y'all? And then he looking at them, scare y'all? I'll go. And you know one thing, out of all of that dogging him out there, none of them tell him don't go out there. Right? But now here's the other part. You don't see the part when it was dark at night and all he could hear was something growling and he grabbed his sling. He was protecting them sheep. And God was with him. And he killed some. When you talking about killing a lion and a bear with a slingshot, do y'all really understand what they're saying? It take a big gun. Don't it, Elder? It take a big gun, man, to kill a bear because of all of the fur and how big he is and everything. You can't have a 22. A 22 ain't killing a bear. You got to have some double off. You got to have something that's going to blow through the fur and get in there and get them. But he was killing lions and bears and stuff with rocks. But they had God behind them. Right? So here he goes out and knock him down. Get the girl, get the money, whole life change. Now y'all willing to go out there with the rock of this gospel and knock down some giants?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Now I know y'all wanted that right in the middle of John, but
if you don't knock him down,
he's
going to knock you down.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the other part. You can't be playing when you go out here, right? So if your prayer life a little weak, don't be running out here trying to grab hold of them. Right? She said not no big giant. Yeah, it was no little ones. Yeah. I'm glad we can laugh. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. So who get the glory when it's bigger than you and you got to ask in his name?
The Lord.
The Lord. Yeah. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. What does that statement right there mean? You got to have some faith that when you call upon that name, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because a whole lot of people saying Jesus, 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 and ain't nothing happening.
Mm.
They ain't really got no faith in that name like that. They just done heard us say that name, or they done heard their grandmama say that name. But they ain't travailed like grandmama. Right?
Yeah.
They ain't been through what grandmama done been through, that when she said Jesus, you know, that thing come through.
Yeah.
You got your faith level dictate how that gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you got a straw, the bigger the straw, the more you gonna pull out, right? So if you got a little bit of straw, boy, you be pulling your lungs out trying to get something through there. You need a big straw if you want to get more water out, right? So that straw size is your faith size. When you start pulling on the anointing and the glory of God. Ooh, I might preach that.
That sounds pretty good.
Look at Portia. Portia, oh, shut up. Oh, 15. If you love me. Uh-oh. I don't think I'm going to make it through the rest of this today. I got to stop at this one. If you love me. What happened? Keep my commandments. And if you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. Because didn't he just give you some comfort? In my Father's house there are many mansions. If you ask anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. Is that not some comfort? Because
yes,
he told them I was getting ready to lay my life down and then I'm about to take my life back up. They scared now. Right? Keep my commandments, I pray the Father, and give you another comforter that he may abide with you when?
Forever.
For a little while.
Forever.
For a month or two. Because see, Jesus was only with them for 3.5 years, right?
Right.
And when he said, I'm getting ready to go, they like, man, you ain't been with us no time. Jesus said, I'm going to give you somebody going to be with you forever because I got something to finish up. Right? 17, even the spirit of truth, or actually that word even right there is in italics, which means they kind of put that in there. But he said, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither know him, but what? You know him. Why? For he dwelleth with you, and in a little while he going to be in you. Powerful right there. Powerful right there. 18, and I got to close. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right, y'all. Y'all empowered now. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. So when the bad report comes, you say, and?
Yay.
And? And, because I got somebody with me. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. See, 14, this whole chapter here, it's got edification, exhortation, and comfort in it. It's got it in it. Anything that you need to get out here and do what you need to do is all in 14. And now just think, it's other chapters that got other stuff in it. But 14 is the one that you can hold on to say, if I need it and I ask for it, he's going to give it to me. I got somewhere to go after this life is over. Right? And I can do some great things if I just let God have me. So can we let 14 resonate? Can we absorb it? Can we let it just start to germinate and produce some fruit. Because truly, we got some work to do. Who in here don't have a job in the Lord? I want to pray for you. Because there's a job for you to do in the Lord. So that he can get the glory. So that the Father can be glorified. So that your testimony save somebody. I give them hope. I give them hope. I had it said to me a few Sundays back, every time I see you, man, you all excited and look like something going on. I'm like, it is. It is. It is something going on. There is some excitement. That's what I'm talking about. I'm loving every minute of it. You know, this ain't no ordinary journey for me. I seen some things. So I got a great expectation. But I want y'all to have a great expectation. That's what I want. I want y'all to have a great expectation. I read this stuff and it just jumps out of the page. I don't know how many, right here, just what we've been through right here, about 12 sermons right there. How many verses did we get to? 15, 16, and 17? That's seventeen messages right there. 18 messages right there. Actually, about 25 or 30, because, you know, you got a part A and a part B. I can take some of that, just take the last half of one and make one. After John, y'all would not have any excuse for not doing what God has told you to do. That's just out of where we've had so far. For you who have been going through this Bible study, think about what you learned in Hebrews, the tabernacle. Think about the inner court and the outer court and all of that. And then we went to Romans and found out about works and the flesh and how we can overcome and get salvation and what salvation to do to you. Now you're getting empowered in John with the truth about who Jesus is and what you can have. And what he's building for you in the end, and the prize that you're going to get, y'all ought to be jumping and shouting about this thing.
Hallelujah.
I am. If y'all don't, I got you. I'll shout for you. Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. Lord, we wanted to settle in, and our spirit, man, just absorb the fact that we can ask and you're going to give it to us, that we can trust and that we do love you and we're going to keep your commandments and that you're going to do even greater for us, Lord. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Let us stand strong in our prayer life, Lord, and communicate more with you so that we could be empowered to do things that we didn't even know that we could do, but you knew that we could do it. So, give us what we need to do, what you would have us to do. We thank you for it. As we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about to protect us and take us to our next destination. We're careful to give you alone all of the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.